Kale Sato on behalf of Think Magazine. We're talking today with Susan Packard, one of the creators of HGTV and an expert on creating memorable brands. Susan, thanks for talking to us today.
You're welcome. I'm delighted.
So in reading your background a bit, I was struck by how much television has changed in the past 15 or 20 years. I think for me, it's hard to remember a world without HGTV, but I guess that world existed back in 1994. Back then, I have a hard time thinking that anyone really knew how serious the American appetite for home improvement programming would be. Back then, how clear was it to you that there was a large audience out there waiting to be tapped?
Well, there were societal trends that we were paying close attention to. You know, cocooning concept was taking hold, or people were moving into their homes and doing so much inside their homes with entertaining and home improvement. There was a lot of a resurgence of gardening and people wanting to get their hands in the dirt. Bob Vila was popular. So there were plenty of indicators that this idea of a dedicated television experience, you know, 24/7, would be one that could be popular and could be successful.
And yet, it was still quite a leap, wasn't it? Because I do kind of remember the Bob Vila years and all the trends that you're talking about, and yet you're talking about starting a network that's going to have programming all the time. Was it scary at all?
Oh, sure. It was scary. It's still scary. But, you know, there, when you look around, it wasn't even just the societal trends, but even the media trends. Back then, newspapers were, people read newspapers back in the early 90s. And if you looked at the sections of a newspaper and you thought about the cable lineup, you had your news covered, you know, your front page, your national, international news with CNN. You had your sports section covered with ESPN, your business section covered with CNBC, your food section with Food Network. You know, there just was no home. There was no dedicated home. And home was a section in newspapers, but there was. So we, in looking at not only societal trends, but media trends, there was a fair amount of ammunition. But sure, creating any new business, even if you have a foundation of good information and good support to suggest that it could be successful, creating any new business is scary, taking that leap.
I would think. So what do you think it was that made HGTV such a huge success?
We tapped passions that weren't being satisfied in any kind of dedicated way on television. They were being satisfied here and there, by Vila and some PBS shows. They were being satisfied in the newspaper and in magazines, clearly, but not on television. And people had these deep, profound interests in home. You know, home is sanctuary. Home is a place where home is safety. I mean, you know, you could get into a lot of the psychological dimensions of what was so important about home as a concept. So we tapped into passions that weren't being satisfied on television in any kind of dedicated way. And the other thing is we decided at the very beginning that we would have constant communication with our viewers. The way the cable business works is we work through middlemen, cable operators or satellite providers, who are the ones who show the networks on their lineups, and therefore they control the viewer, meaning the relationship with the end user. And we didn't feel we could be successful if we did not have a direct communication with our viewers. So we created a call center back in the early 90s. This was progressive. You know, today everything's online, but so we had 800 numbers, and people called us, and they gave us feedback, and we talked to our customers constantly, our viewers constantly. And so to a certain extent, I think they felt they helped build a success as well. They helped build the business. And, you know, you see a lot of that today in social media, but in the early 90s, it wasn't prevalent, and that was helpful to us to be successful.
I'm sure it was. That's incredibly innovative. Was the network an immediate success, or did it take some time to take root?
Well, in the markets where it was distributed, it was an immediate success. We would hear from our viewers. You know, they were using words like addicted, which was a positive spin on it back then. And so where we were, it was an immediate success. It needed, one of my responsibilities was distribution, so we needed to get it fanned out across the country, and that took a few years to do that. But yeah, where it hit markets, people immediately responded.
That's great. It's always a hopeful indicator when something catches
mm-hmm.
on. So it's been some years since then, and I know you've continued to grow HGTV, but you've also worked on launching other networks, including my favorite, Food Network, DIY, Find the Baby, and Great American Country. As you've grown and evolved, has your recipe for success changed?
No, not really, in that fundamentally, you have to stay close to what your customers want. And we have done that. Our call center has evolved into primarily online communication with our viewers and our online users. And but we still are very close to what their interests are. Cosmetically, if you will, things have evolved and changed. And when I say that, I mean how we deliver our information and our entertainment. What we deliver in terms of the programmatic elements. So, for example, reality shows have come into their own in the last 5 or 6 years, and so we've been involved with reality shows, Design Stars, probably our premier example of that. Online platforms and other ways of distributing and delivering our information, we've evolved. So, we've stayed current with those kinds of developments, but fundamentally, to be successful, the content itself, the product, needs to be there has to be high satisfaction in the content itself of the product itself that you're delivering. And the best way to do that is through communication with your customers.
Well, I'm actually fascinated that that's such a huge component of your success. It's not something that I think most of us think of when we think of a television network, that customer feedback. I mean, I
Correct.
Think even just thinking of viewers as customers feels a little unique.
Well, we were and are the only network who ever had a call center. And when you think about Nielsen metered cable networks, 90-plus of them, it is unique.
For sure. And, well, what's encouraging about it, though, is it sounds like when you consult your audience, they want to tell you. They want to interact with you. They're not just sitting out there saying, no, just serve up whatever it is you want to serve up and I'll watch it. So that may be encouraging for folks.
Well, I'm going to digress a little bit off of HGTV. Before I was with HGTV, I was with NBC, and I was on the ground floor of CNBC. And when we built CNBC, there was a network way back 100 million years ago called Financial News Network. And we essentially purchased it, and we put CNBC in its place on the cable dial. Well, one of the things that came out of the experience for me was I actually talked to customers who, when they saw the ticker, the CNBC ticker, they had a million complaints about it. And what they wanted, these are the FNN customers, was, they wanted the font bigger, or they wanted the blue background to be more blue, or whatever it was. And as we listened to our customers way back then, and this was phone calls, this wasn't a call center, this was some of us going to cable systems and talking to customers, and we listened to them, and we evolved the ticker the way they wanted it. They felt that they had ownership, if you will, in the building of the business. And that's a very important part of, that's why social media is so important today, and really a pretty profound way of building and marketing your business, because the degree to which people feel like they have an imprint on what you're doing, I mean, you clearly have to have your own vision, and you have to stay true to your vision, but that participation is important.
That's an amazing story. It's, I think, amazing to me, too, that people cared enough about the size of the font or what your ticker looked like to
mm-hmm.
call without uninvited.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to call and let you know.
Well, they would call. The only reason we were in these offices is because they were complaining. And so a few of us thought would be best, our clients were the cable operators, were saying, we're getting some complaints about that ticker. And we said, well, let us talk to them. Let us hear what they're saying so we can help you. And that's how that evolved.
Wow. So it seems like there's a lesson to be learned from all of this for credit unions. What do you think credit unions can learn from your experience?
On the level of building brands, there needs to be, in my view, a discipline, sort of a bootstrapping around what your brand is. Once you determine what it is, and there are all kinds of processes that you can put. I'm going to talk about one of them, the one that we used when I speak to the group in May. But once you determine what your brand is, then you just have to have a rigor of consistency and continuity in how you execute on the brand. And if you do that, as long as you've hit the sweet spot of what your customers want, you should be successful.
And that sounds so simple, but it's not everything,
no,
right?
It does. And again, I will share in May some examples of where even small things can make a big difference. And you can go off brand so easily. And you have to do everything in your organization to ensure that you stay on brand.
Well, it occurs to me as we're talking that it's easy, I think, as someone who is promoting the brand to think of the brand as this kind of nebulous, vague, ethereal sort of thing. But really what I'm hearing from you is that people depend on your customers, your members, your clients are interested in your brand, and they depend on it as it's almost like a source of information. It's something that matters to them. And so it is important not to be casual with decisions that relate to your brand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to be successful, your brand has to matter to your customers because you want them to rely on your brand and use your brand. And most importantly, trust your brand. I mean, fundamentally, it's a relationship of trust between you and your customers. And so to do that, there are disciplines that I would suggest you should put into place to make sure that you stay on brand.
Well, excellent. I am so excited to hear more about this in May. And I'm also
thank
a
you.
Fan of all of your brands, so thank you for, thank you for doing such a great job of creating.
Well, thank you for viewing.
Again, we look forward to hearing more this May at Think 11. Thanks again for talking to me this morning.
Thank you, Gail.